some people about their experience here at Grace Point, and they referenced the fact that they look forward to this night. And I almost said to them, no one looks forward to it more than me. But it is true for 23 Christmas Eves. It's been a privilege for Debbie and I to be here with our church family and to welcome your extended families and friends. Some of you invited people from far away, some from across a different cubicle at work. But regardless of who's here tonight, I thought I would shock you on the front end and tell you a little something about maybe a secret that you wouldn't know if I didn't confess this. I give birth on a weekly basis. I know I look fairly fit for such a statement. That's the description I would give to the relentless routine of reading, studying, and praying, and pondering, and thinking, and eventually producing, and finally preaching a sermon in this place, week after week, Sunday after Sunday. There are times when if you'll permit me to go this far with my analogy, the gestation is quick. It is at times so fast, it's almost fun. Then there are sometimes when it's painful and slow and difficult, and I get stuck. Okay, that's as far as I go, all right? But it's what I do on a weekly basis, give birth to a sermon where I share God's truth with people that fill this place. I won't go any further with my analogy except to tell you it now explains why my secretary of many, many years, over two decades actually, on the day of birth, which for me is usually Tuesday of any given week, sees me emerge from my study and announces with that look of joy this wonderful single-syllable sound, wah! And it gets the point across. Okay, true confession, I have never given birth. But I have had the privileged front row seat in a hospital three times now, where Debbie did all that goes with birthing three children. First a daughter, and then a son, and then another daughter. And each time I was there, no one had a better place to be, a front row seat, as I like to refer to it, taking it all in. Even on the birth of my son, there was a Raider game going, and the TV, I confess, was on. The doctor left it on, but it was across the room, and I couldn't take me away from or distract me from the miracle moment that was before my eyes. And when I watched our children be born, the moment that it happened, I was speechless. Imagine that, a wordsmith without a word to share. In fact, I reached deep at those moments to come up with a superlative that would describe what I saw and what I was part of. Awesome was a word that came to mind. Incredible. Amazing. Intense. Unbelievable. And all of them seemed insufficient to describe that moment where I had just beheld something that was beyond belief. It's easy to walk past this scene sometimes and miss some of it, and in some cases, all of it. But I tell you from a firsthand experience in the birth of my children, when I lost my ability to describe it with words, I can tell you this, in each case, I simply cried. And they were tears that were full of meaning. They were tears of honor and privilege. There was a sense of weight. I was humbled by it. I was feeling incredible privilege and joy and wonder. And I still remember each time leaving the LDR room and going to greet family and friends. And when I did, they could see and they could sense that I had been part of something that was too incredible to put words to. They knew that I had seen something that defied language and found its way all the way to lodging in my soul. That's what the birth of my three children meant to me. So that was 20 plus years ago. And as I sat here in this place and actually came into this room when none of you were here and spent time thinking about all this, I was imagining what it would be like to be a mother birthing a baby. As close as I was, I have never had that firsthand experience. So I thought it would be fun to reach out to a couple of new mothers here at Grace Point. And our nursery is full of babies, so I had plenty of people to ask. And I wanted to know just simply what it was firsthand for them to experience something that was truly remarkable and impressive, which is what the word and the theme of our month is all about, behold. That means it's truly impressive and indeed remarkable. One couple, Carrie and Philip Munson, they had a baby just not quite 2 months ago. So it's very, very fresh for them. They happened to be in Idaho. They traveled to be with family and let some of the family see their baby, Heather, for the first time. And so I asked her to write me and tell me what it was like. And these are some of Heather's words as a first-time mother. It's remarkable that this tiny human was knit together so perfectly with so little of my actual involvement. Sure, I tried to eat the right foods and avoid the wrong ones and dutifully take my prenatal vitamins and flood my system with water and get as much rest as possible, to help make my body a good environment for the growth of a child. But I didn't build her skeleton. I didn't pick her hair color. I didn't place each tiny little taste bud on her little tongue. Regardless of, or in spite of, any action taken on my part, this perfect little baby was formed, growing exponentially each day as I went about my business. I have since heard many congratulations from friends and family about our beautiful daughter as though she were an achievement that we attained. The real congratulation must, of course, go to God, the true creator and artist of our sweet little baby girl. It's remarkable, and she gets a little whimsical at this point, it's remarkable that, contrary to all logic, but in accordance with law, the doctor made, let me leave the hospital premises with this tiny, fragile human being, entirely dependent upon her two new, inexperienced, exhausted, and overwhelmed parents for her survival. Suddenly, I was responsible for providing the nourishment for one who could not feed herself, being the protective arms and feet for one who could not fight or flee from danger, for comforting one unable to soothe herself. The physical and emotional well-being of another person was now dependent upon someone who felt barely qualified to care for herself. I mean, some days my greatest achievement for the day was getting out of bed and eventually putting real pants on, let alone assembling an actual outfit, which I'm really not good at on my best days. It was suddenly And I'm sure most moms would agree with the word suddenly. It was suddenly my job to feed, to burp, to clothe, and bathe a child. And those are just the big ticket items. There's also trimming tiny fingernails from the ends of flailing fingers, removing stubborn snot from tiny, tiny nostrils, contorting into the correct position for gas relief, and many more basic daily needs for which she could never and we could never really be prepared for. As overwhelming, and it is, ask any parent in that point in time, as overwhelming as all of this is for me, how much more so for Mary? Barely more than a child herself, knowing that the tiny life in her care was the only Son of God that would one day save the world. Yeah, right, no pressure. Yet somehow she managed it, and her baby boy grew into the man we know as Savior. Plenty to behold, wouldn't you say? Quite possible to miss it unless you slow down long enough to ponder, to behold. There's another mom I reached out to, actually several more, but another was a couple in our church, Sam and Marcy Nielsen, and Marcy's going to come right now with little baby David, and they met their little boy this past summer. So Marcy, come on up, and Daddy's right here, so he's just going to hold on to his little guy, and we're going to have a microphone. And he was dedicated recently, and as soon as his eyes, I don't think they can, he can see him tonight. He's got him, but I said almost like we rehearsed it, wasn't it? I said, wow, he seems really attracted to those fans, and suddenly he went and just stared at them. But, you know, Marcy, I tell us something of what it was like for you just 5 months ago or so.
Well, the follow after Carrie, that was a great one.
Well, hold on, we gotta.
Oh, sorry.
There
Hello?
We go.
Okay, so I was just saying, to follow after Carrie, that was amazing.
Wasn't that something?
She wrote. Yeah.
Oh.
But you asked us for our impressions.
Yes.
So I kind of just relived kind of some of those first moments and
absolutely
at the hospital. And so, you know, going back and reliving everything, one of the first impressions was for the delivery room for Sam and I, right? Because we were like, this is better than Disneyland, because we finally get to meet this little guy who's been inside me growing. We've been praying for him. He's been kicking in me.
Sure.
We know he has some sort of fuzzy hair because the ultrasound said it. So we were super excited. And so when the doctor, in anticipation, you know, we had a planned cesarean, she said, the first thing she said was, he's got a lot of hair. We're like, oh. And then she said, he has sideburns. And we're like, oh, okay. And then we're like, okay, can we see it? And then we heard him crying. We knew everything was okay. So it was just kind of this reassurance, anticipation of like, okay, there's nothing wrong.
You're right.
And then it was going off into the from the delivery room and to the recovery room, right? And so he was born 5 pounds, 7 ounces. Mm. So a little on the smaller side, which made me go, what did I do wrong? You know, somewhat, but clearly they were like, this happens sometimes, you're full term, you're okay. But he was continuing to lose weight. And so the second impression really for me was the fact that it was kind of a survival mode. I needed to figure out how I can help him latch, how I can help him feed, what do we need to do in order to get nourishment in his body. It was like a critical time in his life because,
sure,
you know, he needed to grow, and in order for him to grow, he needed to eat, and he needed to gain weight. And so that was pretty intense.
5 pounds is tiny.
Yeah, especially when you're dropping down to 4'10", and then they're telling you, oh, we have to do some other things in order to get him to gain weight.
Right.
So it wasn't one of those things like, oh, he's fine. It was like, we need to get an action plan together. So it was kind of intense and stressful. But one of my favorite moments at the hospital, clearly I was in and out because I had just had surgery, was Sam kind of consoling David one of the times he was crying. It was probably 2 or 3 in the morning. Like Carrie and Philip, lack of sleep was big, right?
Sure.
And so, basically I kind of was falling in and out of sleep watching Sam, you know, just whispering and singing worship music over little David praying for him and kind of dancing with him. And it was such a precious time because it was like I was like kind of seeing a little personal moment they were having.
Sure.
And it was just like made me think, gosh, Sam is going to be such a great daddy. He sure. already is a great daddy, but just to witness this was just a miracle in itself.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was to the point where we got to take him home, right? So we got from the hospital to the house, and when we took him home, you know, a lot of the whole, you know, giving him nicknames, and he started squeaking, so I called him my squeaker. We called him baby, honey. And then I started realizing, you know, I was calling him a lot of the nicknames, like sweetheart, you know, honey, I love you, and all these nicknames that I would give Sam.
Yeah.
And then Sam would think that I'm talking to him because I'd say, sweetheart, I love you. And he'd go, I love you too. And I'm like, I love you too. You know, like I was like, wait a second. I meant to say it to the baby, but now I'm switching over names. And then because it was the heat of the summer, you know, it was really hot this summer. I don't sure. know how much you guys thought it was hot, but there was all the worries that I'd have, like, he's overheated. How is he going to sweat? He's his little body. Is he eating enough? So all the mother's worries, you know, like, sure. is he sleeping? What does his poop look like? You yeah. know, just typical things that new first-time moms, like, holding the neck. Like, I see mothers who are, like, second, third-time child, you know, like, oh, yeah, here's my baby. And I'm like, what about the neck? You know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so being a first-time mom, that was a big thing. I would say, in general for me, there's a different sense of peace and patience I have, too. Once you have your child, you know, the whole screaming and crying of a newborn baby is a lot different when it's your own. Like, you more so not worry about, okay, that hurts my ears, because it doesn't. It makes it more like, how do I take care of you? How do I resolve the pain and suffering you're going through? I would just say that in general that we have, like, this really special bond whenever right. I'm feeding him. Like, the eye contact that we have is so endearing to me. And then ultimately, what I think now, even going to Grace Point and seeing him interact with everybody here, mm-hmm. I've been praying over David before he was born, and even now that, you know, he would be a God's light unto other people and just bring
sure.
joy.
Sure.
And I just have so much joy to see how many people just love him here. You
wow.
know, like, how many people want to hold him, how many people think he's precious. And to us, we almost feel bad. Like, yeah, he's a great boy, but don't put so much attention. But, you know, it is. I think that he, to me, he's so precious, and that he's precious to so many other people. It makes us feel really great.
That's awesome. And you're... your description makes us feel great. Thank you. Seriously, Marcy, thank you. And I'll let you grab your son. And let me just make an observation. You know, there you had a whole lot that you beheld. I mean, it's wild because I see you all usually weekly. And then to hear you unpackage, and I'm sure you could add more, you know, as a dad, you know, to unpackage something of the splendor and the awesome. Again, words just don't quite describe how it feels to have your baby. And I think if we were to go to the next step and the last step this evening would be to imagine what Mary felt, because that's really what we're here about tonight. Is she sees a newborn on that night, and she beholds a son that she'd been told about. These words in Luke's gospel capture in a single sentence what she observed, what she took in as she beheld her son. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. What things? I took that to the Bible and found an answer. Part of the answer is, surely she would have treasured the things that were just reported to her as she stared at her newborn baby. You remember the shepherds came in and they simply said, we want to tell you what we saw and heard. We heard from an angel, reliable source. We heard good news that will cause great joy for all kinds of people, not just for you, mommy. Not just for you as a couple, but for us. Today a Savior has been born, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So what did Mary behold? I would say to you tonight, I think way more than just a son. A Savior. Could it be that when even depicted in these beautiful figurines, there's this sense of he's more than my son. He's my Savior. And the same question, I think, it needs to be asked and answered by us too. You see, he's not just a king. That's not enough. And he's not just the king. To say that doesn't quite take it where it belongs. It's really the deepest question of all, in a way more personal way. He came to be her king and my king and your king. And I would simply ask you on this Christmas Eve, is he? If he is, then you're going to want to affirm the truth of a song that we're going to hear right now. He shall reign as my king forever.